Video games are big business, really big business. About $18.4 billion were spent on the video game industrial complex here in the US in 2017. That's a lot of quarters. $73.6 billion, to be exact. Tom Bissell has earned a very small portion of those quarters through his work writing video games. And when he's not writing video games, he's writing essays and books. One of his books is called Extra Lives: Why Video Games Matter.
A video game is first and foremost a piece of software, right? And,
right.
They're based on systems. So I like storytelling games, you know, more than most other kinds of games. But games are kind of ill-suited to tell stories the way that I thought they were back when I wrote this book. I've been writing in the video games for the last 7 years, and my thoughts have evolved and changed a lot based on my experience actually, you know, getting into the nitty-gritty of game development. But games are about systems, and they're about interactivity. So what a game will give you is a series of things you're able to do, verbs, we call them. So here are your verbs, and then you'll get goals and things that you can do using these verbs. And how you interact with the verbs in the game world and that you're given is sort of the nut of what video games can do. So sometimes the system is closed and very simple. In Donkey Kong, you run up a series of ladders to save the lady at the top of the you know, ape-ruled gymnasium.
Yeah.
In a game like Mass Effect, you're trying to save the entire universe from a you know, murderous alien invasion. So, and that game is massive. You know, it's Donkey Kong is just a speck compared to the amount of territory you get to wander in those two games.
Yeah.
So this is just a way of saying that, you know, what a video game is as various as like what a piece of music is. You know, you wouldn't call like, you know, a bluegrass banjo song, Kendrick Lamar's new album Damn, which just won the Pulitzer Prize, you know, the Hamilton soundtrack and like Nessun Dorma. Those are all pieces of music, but you know, they don't have a whole lot in common with each other. Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about something called ludonarrative. What is ludonarrative?
So ludonarrative dissonance is a thing. Well, the ludonarrative itself is a term. Ludo comes from the Latin word for play, ludic.
Right.
And so the ludonarrative is the part of a game that is the story that is generated by the action of playing. So in Donkey Kong, again, the ludonarrative is the story of watching this little plumber climb up these ladders to get to the top. The narrative is that, you know, this is a story about an ape terrorizing a guy who's trying to save this imperiled woman. That's the narrative of Donkey Kong. But the ludonarrative is the things, the barrels you jump over, the hammer you grab. The ludonarrative grows out of actual gameplay.
And so there's this ludonarrative dissonance, which is the conflict between a video game's narrative and the gameplay, because in terms of the fact that the person who is playing the game has agency, they have the ability to make their avatar make different choices. Is that kind of what ludonarrative dissonance is all about?
That is part of it, but there's also a bigger part of it, which is often happens in shooters where you're the, quote, good guy and you're trying to go do something, quote, good. And on the way of doing these things, you know, will likely kill hundreds, if not thousands of people. And it's very hard to, like, keep in your head the fact that I'm the good guy when you're stabbing, shooting, blowing people up, you know. And so the dissonance arises from the game story telling you, hey, you're the good guy, you're doing this good thing, and the ludonarrative of, you know, I am a remorseless mass murderer just marching through hundreds of people and killing them without compunction.
Yeah.
So that's an example of the game story is telling you one thing, but the gameplay is telling you another. And I will say, having, you know, worked in the industry now for a long time, game people are getting better and better at recognizing that this is a core flaw in everything we do, and there's various ways you can mitigate it. There's various ways you can just say, well, it's, you know, if our narrative sort of doesn't jive with our gameplay, that's fine. You know, you can just sort of be silly about it.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, you've worked as a video game writer for one of the Gears of War games and probably other games. What did you learn? How did that change your understanding, that experience? How has that changed your understanding and maybe more importantly, your experience of playing video games?
Well, I guess before I started writing games, I thought that like the script was sort of written and you decided to make the script.
Yeah.
But that's not how games go. That's how movies go. That's how a television episode is done. But in a game, you start with a vague sense of what the story is going to be, and then people literally start making the game while it's being written. And so what this means is you start writing a game in the very middle. Oftentimes you'll write the first scene as the last thing you'll write. And so it's this completely bonkers way of assembling a story, you know, writing it completely out of order and, you know, at various times over, you know, probably a two-year period. The scripts are really long. Like the last Gears of War script I wrote was like 1,500 pages long. And wow. I'm the only writer on that game. So. Wow.
Why so long? Because you have to account for different options, like what reactions depending on what the player does?
No. Games in which that's an option are even longer. Gears of War is just a long game because, you know, it's a 9 to 10 hour experience. So it's like writing 9 or 10 movie scripts. And, and there's more than, it's a co-op game. So every single bit of, every node of interactivity in the game has to have one of three possibilities, because the player can be one of three characters. So whoever like does this or walks here first, you need variants for all of those things for all three characters. So it gets big fast.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
So, you know, there's not that many people on the planet who even have shipped a video game that they've written. You know, it's a form of writing that's still really new and that very few people have even done. So I find it exciting and interesting just for that reason alone.
Yeah. In 2008, you were living in Vegas, and the Grand Theft Auto 4 was released, and you and a friend, you played the game with a friend for 30 hours straight. And think of all the reading and writing you could have done with this 30 hours. Was it worth it?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a person who lives with regret, and, you know, I'm 44 years old, and I've written 9 books, so I don't think I've wasted my time.
No, you're not a slacker by any means. But, yeah.
I really enjoy playing video games. Yeah. I like the experiences they give me. And you know, that was a period in my life where I was playing a lot of video games, way too many video games, in fact. But, you know, now, I have a very healthy relationship to all the forms of media I consume. And I have a 3-year-old daughter, and that's certainly part of it is your time just becomes more and more compartmentalized as you go on. And those days of sitting and playing a game for hours are, you know, not even possible for me anymore. So.
Right. And it was around this same time, correct me if I'm wrong, it was around 2008, the time when you were playing Grand Theft Auto 4, that you developed a cocaine addiction, right?
I would not say a cocaine addiction. I would say a cocaine problem.
A cocaine problem, okay.
And, yeah, and I sort of write about that in the last essay of Extra Lives is this period where I realized that I've using drugs, abusing drugs, and playing video games have gotten me to a place that was a little scary. And kind of tried to write my way out of it with that essay a bit. And, you know, had a few more stumbles with that particular substance in the next few years, but I've happily been drug-free for a long time now. So.
What? Good to see you, man. What? To forget our language?
There are times when I think Grand Theft Auto 4 is the most colossal creative achievement of the last 25 years. Times when I think of it as an unsurpassable example of what games can do. And times when I think of it as misguided and a failure. No matter what I think about Grand Theft Auto 4, or however I am currently regarding it, my throat gets a little drier, my head gets a little heavier, and I know I am also thinking about cocaine.
Lay off that stuff.
Why?
Because it clouds your judgment. You need to calm down with that stuff.
Calm? Why? So I can be like you?
Video games and cocaine feed on my impulsiveness, reinforce my love of solitude, and make me feel good and bad in equal measure. The crucial difference is that I believe in what video games want to give me, while the bequest of cocaine is one I loathe and distrust. As for Grand Theft Auto 4, there is surely a reason it was the game I most enjoyed playing it on coke, constantly promising myself just one more mission after a few fat lines. In Vegas and Talon, one more mission became the closest thing I have ever had to a mantra. For every moment of transcendence, there is a moment in the gutter. For all its emotional violence, there are long periods of quiet and calm.
Vlad told you to kill me, right?
Get up. Stay out of Hove Beach.
Thank you. You're never gonna see me around here again. I owe you my life, man. You're a good man. You're a good man. Thank you.
Something bombardingly strange or new is always happening. You constantly find things, constantly learn things, constantly see things you could not have imagined. When you are away from it, you long for its dark and arrowy energies. But am I talking about video games or cocaine? I do know that video games have enriched my life. Of that I have no doubt. They have also done damage to my life. Of that I have no doubt. I let this happen, of course. I even helped the process along. As for cocaine, it has been a long time since I last did it, but not as long as I would like. So what have games given me? Experiences. Not surrogate experiences, but actual experiences, many of which are as important to me as any real memories. Once I wanted games to show me things I could not see in any other medium. Then I wanted games to tell me a story in a way no other medium can. Then I wanted games to redeem something absent in myself. Then I wanted a game experience that points not toward, but at something. Playing GTA 4 on coke for weeks and then months at a time, I learned that maybe all a game can do is point at the person who's playing it. And maybe this has to be enough.
Tom Bissell is the author of Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter.